You're listening to the newchurches.com Q&A podcast.
I just did that, Daniel. Should we tell them what I just did?
New Churches is an online hub for the mission of church multiplication.
I forgot to record the whole last episode.
Yes, you did. It was really good. We'll attempt to do it really again.
Oh my gosh.
As if we were doing it the first time.
Oh my gosh. I just want to publicly apologize to you. And it's Saturday morning. It's like Saturday morning. And I'm so, don't even want to be here, but I'm here. Well, no, I do. I do for the listeners. For you, I hate you. I just wanted to put that out before everyone to hear. All right.
Who
sorry.
Is the you that you hate? Yourself?
I hate me because I totally, and it was a good episode too.
It was
life changing. This one is going to be nearly as good. So just if you're going to leave a review, don't leave a review on this one. Leave a review on the one that didn't get recorded. That's what you should do.
Yeah.
Sadness. All right. Do the intro deal.
We should probably play that one at the end of this. You know, those hidden tracks in the 90s.
Yeah. But it'd be just all you though. It would be all you. I mean, it'd be like you responding to my stupidity, but anyway.
But if you play the hidden track backwards, imagine what the message might be.
My sweet. Anyway, let's move on from there.
All right. So we are going to be, I mean, this is in between Christmas and New Year's. The moment passed.
We missed the moment. Okay.
Exactly.
So it's in between Christmas and New Year's. And so it's a season of gorging. It's and celebrate the 12 days of Christmas, right? On the first day, we need to actually sing the 12 days of Christmas.
Wait, okay. So we were talking a little bit about this earlier before the recording of this podcast. And I was like, I was pretty amazed that you said the 12 days of Christmas happened after. I always kind of thought that it was going up to Christmas.
Your deep knowledge of liturgical Christianity is stunning to our listeners. And so what were you like? Were you like Christian Missionary Alliance? Is that what you were a pastor in when we found you in Canada?
Yes.
So when we found you in an igloo in Canada and brought you here.
At least you're not saying that I was a cocktail waitress anymore.
That's true. So that is true.
You I guess that's a little bit of upgrade.
In a cocktail bar. And I want to apologize to all the Anglican priests right now who are banging their head on their tables or altars, maybe. The 12 days of Christmas is it comes after. So Christmas goes from December 25th and for 12 days and is first day being Christmas. And we're recording this not in Christmas yet. We're recording this before Christmas in Advent. So Advent ultimately precedes Christmas. And then, so that's why, nobody likes people like this who, when you say Merry Christmas to them, they say Happy Advent. And you sort of want to like,
No one's ever said that to me. No.
Okay. You don't hang around a week in college with Anglicans. And so I always say to them, nobody likes you. I mean, nobody likes you when you do that. I want you to have friends. I want you not to do that. So
let me help you help you.
Exactly. So don't do that. So after Christmas, so right now it is very appropriate to say to every single person that you meet, Merry Christmas, because if you're listening to this on this episode drops the 28th, I think.
Yes, the 28th.
That it's December 25th, January 5th is the 12 days of Christmas. Why? Because Christmas is too big for just one day, and so people celebrate it. Now, again, this is not everybody does that. You know, it's Orthodox do that. Now, my stepfather and mother are Orthodox. Matter of fact, he's an Eastern Orthodox priest, and so I will hear.
I did not know that
for 12 days. You did not know that? Okay,
no.
Interesting times. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, so So then what about the imagery? Like on the first day of Christmas, my true love gave to me. I mean, all the things.
That's are those song?
Yes, but each of the days of Christmas, the present, the gifts. Does that have anything to do? Like, is there biblical imagery behind that song? Then,
well, I mean, some people have. All right, so here's the story. Right, so the story is that that during a certain season in England, that Catholics couldn't teach their children some of their beliefs, and so what they did is they created a song to kind of secretly catechize their children, and so it went. It went, so of course the partridge in the pear tree is Jesus, two turtle doves of the Old and New Testament. The four calling birds are the four gospels, 11 pipers piping. That's the apostles who remained faithful, the 11 of them, 12 drummers drumming. So it's got this whole thing kind of laser. Unfortunately, it's not probably true, but it is cool.
Yeah.
But it's a story that has been repeated widely, but you know, it's also got a Snopes article, so it's probably not true, but it is. So next time you sing it, I want you to be happy. I want you to hear it and I want you to be happy and think that it's actually true.
Yeah. So, that's pretty neat. That's pretty neat.
It is. There you go. So that'll make you happy. And so I'm all about that. So because Thanksgiving, you know, it's a little, do you have Christmas time? Is they celebrate Christmas in Canada? Is that a thing they do?
Which is a true story, because one person once said to me when I told them that Canadians don't celebrate American Thanksgiving, that there is a Canadian Thanksgiving, legitimately, you know, bless their heart, they looked at me in the face and they were like, so when is Christmas in Canada? Hashtag America.
That is, wow. I am so, first of all, there are places where Christmas is celebrated at a different time, but they're very small little offshoots of denominations or religious traditions. Wow. So if someone actually asked you if they celebrate.
A year after moving to the States, yeah.
Wow, I'm proud of America. But to be fair, American Thanksgiving is better than Canadian Thanksgiving.
I mean, historically,
it's not. Historically, because, you know, it's supposed to be a harvest festival and the pilgrims would definitely not be doing that in late November. So historically, but let's be honest. I mean, Canadian Thanksgiving is too far away.
No. It's great time. I mean,
it's not. It's terrible.
Thanksgiving is way too close to Christmas.
No, that's it. It's
way
like
too close.
Once American Thanksgiving hits, it's just laziness and overeating for the rest of the year. So it's like a month. It's like, all right, everybody eat and be lazy.
Yeah.
And for you got to go back to work in Canada.
All right. So we are going to get to a question about venues recommended for a brand new church plant. But I did want to share one more thing before we got before
we got there. So this is actually a podcast about church planting. Okay,
yes,
let's do that.
Yes, it is. So we were talking about, you know, right now is Advent at the time of the recording, but when it releases, it's going to be one of the 12 days of Christmas. But last week we started a sermon series at my church called The Carols of Christmas. And we basically are taking each of the, you know, one of several hymns, and we're preaching through it, the theology and the background behind it. So this last Sunday, I preached through O Come, O Come, Emmanuel, one of my favorite hymns. And what's really fascinating about this is in the original song, there were seven verses, and each of the seven verses actually referenced a messianic title to Jesus, right? So it's O Sapientia, which is wisdom, and O Adonai, God, O Radix Jesse, stem or root of Jesse, O Clavis David, key of David, O Orions, Dayspring, O Rex Genetium, King of the Gentiles, and O Emmanuel, God with us. Now, what's interesting about this is a lot of times and this is what I was sharing this last Sunday, a lot of times when we sing this, we think of little baby Jesus and we think of, hey, you know, the manger, and we're kind of putting ourselves in pre-first century, hey, Jesus is coming, let's get ready for this. But actually, if you look at those seven titles and you flip it around, the first letters, you flip it around, it actually spells Erocras, which means I will be present tomorrow. I shall be with you tomorrow. So hidden in the song is actually, it's not just when we sing the song, we're remembering little baby Jesus, but we're actually remembering the second coming of Christ, not just the first coming, but the second coming as well. So it was neat to be able to dig into that. I learned that myself last week when I was preparing for the message. But just to dig into some of the songs.
Was it like on some real reputable, you know, website, or did you get this from imakeupstories.com?
No, it was real.
Okay, good.
I checked my sources.
Yeah, no, I know you would. But at my church, we actually preached the Bible, so we didn't do that because we were, well, you know, preaching the Bible. But nevertheless, whatever works for you as at Two Rivers, where I used to be the pastor for a short amount of time as an interim. So, but anyway,
let's
move away from Bible preaching. But go ahead, let's just go on from there and thank the Fellowship of Two Rivers. All right, go on.
I refrain from responding to that comment, let's get into the question.
My name is Blake from North Rock, Arkansas. I was wondering if you could talk about a brand new church plant, whether there are some different types of venues that you guys would recommend in terms of getting started before you have an actual owned or leased location, as far as, you know, whether you start in a high school gym, or I've even seen some guys do it in a movie theater. What are some different layouts that would work well for a new church plant? Thanks, guys.
Yeah, great question, actually. And actually a question we've done research on nonetheless. And so that's actually kind of a good thing. But in general, let me say this, because you might hear my answers and say, well, we don't have the ability to do this or that. But in general, you're going to be at the best kind of locations are going to be places that are publicly accessible, places where people go to already. And so, because, you know, it's, if you got to, you know, walk down to the back of a of an office building. I mean, that's, again, I'm not saying these are all undoable or untenable, but if you gotta, walk back to the back of an office building, or I know one church that actually met in a funeral home. You know, people go to that, but that has a different feel and vibe.
Yeah.
People are dying to go to church.
I guess you gotta find a location, but.
Yeah, exactly. And so, but so what we found is when we looked at some of the best practices, this was a 2007 study that I don't remember if we updated in the 14 numbers, maybe you do, but yeah. One of the things we found is some of the factors for higher attendance were meeting in a school, meeting in a theater were both things that were there. Now, here's the thing. Some people heard that and they saw the number one factor was for higher attendance was meeting in a school. And that's true. And that's, and when I walk to work, I actually walk by the middle school my daughter attends, public middle school, and there's a church that meets there every Sunday. Now, I think that's a community space. People have a connection there. Now, the reality is, and you know, this depends on where you are, whether or not that's even an option. Now, historically, what's interesting is Canada and Australia used to be more open. I know we have listeners in those places. Canada, Australia, and the UK used to be more open, and the US was less so because of a quirk of our law where people talk about separation of church and state in a different way. But now we're finding even challenges in some of those places as well. But again, it's very much hit and miss. You know, New York City banned all churches and schools and now welcomes all churches and schools. And the Supreme Court, you know, has partially ruled on some of these things. And so there's not a lot of clarity about what can or cannot be done. And I'm not a lawyer and I didn't sleep at a Holiday Inn last night pretending to be a lawyer. But again, I think the key issue, though, is public spaces that people sort of recognize. So the last church I planted met in a Regal cinema. We work with the folks at Regal and for them, it was an opportunity for them to have revenue when people aren't having, you know, coming to movies on Sunday morning. For us, it was a readily accessible space. Now, one of the things that's shifting with a lot of theaters that makes this a little trickier is their seating capacity in many of them is being drastically reduced because they're putting in those cool recliners that everyone likes, but a little harder for church because then you got, you know, all the teenagers reclining back, you know, during church.
And a lot less seating too. I mean, it completely changes the dynamic of it.
It does.
I mean, even when you look at a theater, when we were doing one of our campuses there at my previous church, I mean, just the dynamic of, you know, what that environment, I guess, connotes as well. Yeah. It was very much of a, hey, I'm not really going to talk to you, because even though we would have talked to each other in a school gymnasium, because it's a movie theater.
So you take a school over a movie theater?
Yeah, I would. I mean, there are pros and cons, but what I noticed, I mean, the big pro when we went from a school to a theater was just not having to set up chairs. I mean, that was massive.
And what a lot of people don't realize is that, you know, we did all of our children's ministry, some in the party room, that was the nursery, all these things have a party room now. And then in the front of most theaters is the space. Just think about it. You can't sit in the front row and look right up on the screen. So there's a big open space in the front that we would set up gates and stuff, and it worked well as a children's area. So I'm still pro theater, but I get that that schools, and I think one of the questions is, how does it play out? As a matter of fact, maybe it'd be helpful. I'd love to hear from some of our listeners if you tweet us. Tweet me at @EdStetzer. What's been your experience with the shift to what is that called when you the recliner seats? Is it just called recliner seats?
I think like some places call them VIP theaters and VIP seating. Yeah. You know, it's just whatever they want to call it. But and I'm not saying that I'm anti theater. I'm just saying there are pros and cons for both. Pro for a theater is just less setup, right? Yeah. And you do have your children's ministry in other areas. So, I mean, setup was way quicker and easier to do on our volunteers in a theater. The thing about the thing that we really had to work hard on was how do we develop community and help people relate with one another before and after the service? Because they were not going to do it in the theater.
Yeah, no, that's true. And of course, you know, hallways would become that key space, but I definitely do agree that you're sort of in and out in a theater. I mean, in or out.
Exactly.
You can't stand there or block the hallway. But yeah, but most of them have wide open areas. But let's not just leave those two things as options because, you know, I've started a church in a VFW hall. Like, no, it was an American Legion hall. You know, but one of the, they often have these big rooms like for dances, for things of that sort. I've started a church in a restaurant. Personally, I've been, of course, in a high school, trying to think of where else the church is.
Yeah, and even common areas and apartment buildings in neighborhoods.
A hotel. I planted a church in a hotel once. I'm trying to remember. That's a year going back for a while. So I think the key, though, is it's easy when you say to people, we're at blank, and they recognize what it is. So it was a real advantage at the Regal Cinema for Grace Church, last church I planted, to say, oh, we're at Grace Church. We're at Regal Cinema. And they look at us, I mean, like right next to it? No, we're actually in it. Now, what was weird for us, and this has never happened to anybody else, is that the Regal Cinema had another Regal Cinema that they closed. It was an old theater. And they built a brand new one in the new, it's called the Streets of Indian Lake, kind of an outdoor mall kind of deal. And so then Life Church then bought the old Regal Cinema, turned it into a campus. So I think we probably sent 75% of our people to Life Church. We said, hey, when I invite you to our church, we meet in the Regal Cinema. And they went to Life Church because they all think, well, yeah, the church that meets in the cinema. And
yeah, okay.
Like, but I didn't want to say, you don't like Craig Rochelle. You want to come to our church.
Yeah.
So I didn't think that was, because I like Craig Rochelle. So I didn't want to say that.
You didn't want that to be on the mail out. Craig Rochelle.
Exactly. Come to our church. It's actually funny. Cause we wanted to like be super nice, but you know, we're spending all this money on mailers.
Yeah.
And so what we finally did is we said we had to make it clear. So we said the new Regal Cinema across the square from Barnes and Noble in the Streets of Indian Lake. And we didn't say not Life Church, but it was sort of like our way of saying, this is the one. So if you come to our mailer, this is the series, you know, it's great. You know, Craig's a great communicator, but you know, we're doing a mailer on maybe a marriage series we're doing from the Bible, which we preach the Bible at our church. Daniel, try that. Is that you then would come, and we'll make sure you come to the right place for the right series. But we thank God that many people came to Life Church and heard the gospel and responded by grace. And through faith. Anyway.
All right. So referencing the newer study that we had done, and if you have not yet read either the US or the Canadian version, you can go to newchurches.com/register and get both of those reports for free. But the interesting thing about both, okay, starting with the American one, is that if you compare over 4 years the average worship attendance for church plants that meet in school facilities versus ones that meet elsewhere, among those that we surveyed, those that met in a school actually had a way higher worship attendance year over year, right? So for those that met in a school, it was 73 year one versus 42 that met elsewhere. Year two, it went to 106 versus 61. And then year three, 138 versus 77. And then in year four, the biggest difference, almost double, 187 versus 94. Now, what we're not saying is meet in a school and you'll have double the attendance.
Yeah. This is not this is not causation. This is correlation.
Yeah.
But because there are reasons you might be meeting a school because you have more money as a church plant. There's a hundred different factors.
Yeah, exactly. It was interesting.
In general, that public space is best. And I would say schools and theaters are going to be the best public spaces you can use. But don't overlook. I mean, literally get in your car and drive around and kind of get a feel for what's there and ask the question, how can we make this work? But when you're in a facility, you're going to ask the question, you got seats and you got a stage. Okay, good. You got those two things. But then you got to ask the question, are parents going to be able to be comfortable dropping their kids off in this room? Is this going to be a safe place where moms say, you know, I let my child be in this nursery, where dads say, I'll let my toddler play in this room. And if the answer is no, even if you got seats, that's not going to be your friend. And I think that's a key issue, is to make sure that the setup enables you to do those things. Now, depending upon your theater or your school or your public space, I mean, what's great is that some Regal Cinemas actually let you store your things behind the screen.
Yeah.
Not all. Ours actually didn't, but some schools let you store your things under the bleachers or on property where you pull up the trailer. And that's such a difference. And so keep in mind, that we call it in the new version of planning missional churches. By the way, I got an email from a school this week that's going to use the planning missional churches. They're really excited about using the 2006 version. So I literally said, I mean, you can actually see it on Twitter. You could, if you find, look, scroll through my feed and look for 2006 planning missional churches. And I responded, you should really use the new updated one. And they haven't responded yet. I think it might be because they don't like you. I don't
yeah,
know.
Maybe.
Or maybe it's Canada. Maybe it's right. They're anti-Canadian. But anyway,
okay, so let's give... Long?
Are you,
no, this is great.
Good.
No, this is great. There,
but good.
So just two more things, because we did spend half the episode talking about Christmas.
Yeah. Do they know it's Christmas time at all? Yes, they know it's Christmas time in Africa. And Mary knew. Mary, did you know? Yes, she knew. Why are you singing? If someone sings that next year, Pastor, just say, yes, they knew. She knew. And they know it's Christmas time in Africa.
Yeah, you anyway, probably shouldn't on. Be singing Mary, Did You Know on Sunday anyway, so...
Yes, that's true. Good point. I take that all back. Right. I want to strike that from the record. Okay, go ahead.
Okay, so two more things. On the Canadian church planning report that we did, this was interesting. When you look at average, so we talked about the average weekly attendance, right, on the American side. But on the Canadian side, what was interesting is for those that met in a school versus those that didn't, there was almost double the number of new commitments to Christ year over year. In the first 3 years. Mm-hmm. And so, I mean, that's pretty cool to see not only the possible, the correlation as it relates to average weekend attendance, but also when it comes to new commitments. And part of that does have to do with, it is a public space. It is somewhere that they're more possibly that they're more likely to go to versus, a warehouse or someone's house or, whatnot over there. But it's interesting to just see some of that. The last thing that I wanted to share from our research, and this is on the American side again, is that among new churches who use a school as a meeting place, 74% are self-sufficient within their first 3 years versus those who don't, 60% are self-sufficient. So it's neat to see some of that.
Yeah. So here's what I would say. All those things tell us one primary thing. Schools, probably public, probably better. Again, you already said it. You were not saying that these things are all going to magically happen to you, but we are saying that think in terms of that. Because here's what happens when someone finds an amazing dance studio, like one of my youngest daughters, goes to these dance things. And so when someone finds an amazing dance studio and it's got all the facilities, et cetera, don't say, well, it's not a school. I shouldn't use it, even though it's on the main road. Her little dance studio is it's a bunch of little kids go and whatever. And that's a great location. Everyone knows where it is. It's right next to so-and-so. I've driven by it and said, I'd like to plant a church there. My wife says I'm not allowed to plant any more churches, but that's I'd like to plant a church there. Are you going to plant another church, by the way, Daniel? You should do that. You're at fellowship. Are you like an elder or a pastor? What are you at the church?
I'm a teaching pastor there.
Nice.
All right, man.
But let's remember where we started the show, but doesn't actually teach the Bible, teaches Christmas hymns. Did you mention a Bible text in there? Just take one out of context, at least to prove your
point. I should just send you the video recording of it, just so you can see how much I talk about the scriptures.
Because that's what I want to do, is watch your sermons after you're making me get up Saturday morning at 8 a.m. to record podcasts. Thank you, everybody, for joining us on the New Churches Podcast. I'm sorry that we talked. Now, we know it's December 28th, but the problem is, a lot of people are going to listen to this in like June and be like, why do I care about anything? But remember, if you're listening December 28th, it's the first day, second day, third day, fourth day. On the fourth day of Christmas, the true love gave to me four, what is it?
Calling birds? I don't know. I have no idea. Anyways, thanks for listening.
What's the fourth day? Do you remember? Come on, you got to remember. My true love sent to me four calling birds, who were the gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, in the fake story that we told in the middle of the show. Thanks for joining us on New Churches. Go to newchurches.com for more information. My name's Ed Stetzer with the amazing Daniel M.
Music is playing on the, in the Emmys.
Is there music? Okay. All right. Good. Play me out. Thank you very much for your time. I'd like to thank my producers. And anyway, bye.